My guest has seen the dead miraculously come back to life. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Owen Zedge, a successful businessman, and all of a sudden, his wife Shirley comes home, and how was she acting?
In my opinion, just very strange. She came in actually with her hands in the air, praising the Lord, speaking in tongues, and I was waiting for the punchline. I said, what is going on here? And she was washing dishes. She'd be washing dishes and her hands would be in the air. You know, how are you going to wash dishes with your hands in the air? But just totally strange, odd to me. And I, being agnostic, would look at this and say, something serious, something very serious is wrong here. And I, in my state of mind, saw this as a mental problem.
Did you tell her to get help? What did you tell her?
Well, I thought I would try to work with her myself, and if I could get her to drop this thing that she was doing and this group that she was hanging with, if I could get her to just turn that loose, I really felt that she would probably just come back to normal and our family could return to normal and we'd all be happy again. But then if she persisted, I felt like that she would probably need professional help. Now, she began praying for me. Mm-hmm. Began really seriously praying for me. In fact, she would stay up all night. She had a job where she worked.
And how could she do that, stay up all night and then work?
Well, that's the first part of, I guess, just something supernatural, something God was doing, giving her the ability to just pray for me. And she would stay up all night, work all day, and then do this several days in a row. And when she came home the next time, she was still just as strange as far as I was concerned. And all during that week, I was worried about her. I really felt that this had to be some form of mental imbalance. This couldn't possibly be normal. And so I approached her. And I figured that if she did not speak on the subject, if I just asked her not to speak on the subject, that this would begin to fade and go away.
Out of curiosity, did you think about leaving her? Did you love your wife?
Yes, I loved her and I had no intentions of leaving.
You just wanted her to go back to the way she was.
Yes, I wanted life to be normal again. Happy, normal. This way was strange, bizarre. And so I asked her not to be conducting herself in this fashion and not to be acting the way she was acting. And she says, really somewhat to my surprise, because oftentimes she doesn't readily agree with everything that I had said. And when I suggested this, she says, sure, fine. I have one thing I want you to do, though. And I said, oh, here comes a punchline. And so she said, I want you to get up each morning and pray for 30 minutes.
Well, that's reasonable.
Yes, although I was agnostic, but I attended a church and sat in a pew because that, for businessmen, that looks respectable.
I understand.
And so there I was. Didn't believe a word of it, but there I was. And in any event, I agreed to do this because oftentimes I'd been asked to dismiss prayer in church, and I would have been in church all my life. I'd stand up and say this.
Churches like successful businessmen in their churches.
Yeah, they like to see us. Well, anyway, so when her request was to pray for 30 minutes each morning, I said, piece of cake. This is easy. Mm-hmm. I can handle this. And so the next morning, I did some of the chores that had to be done around the house and got the kids down to the place where they catch the bus. And I was then prepared to take 30 minutes and pray. Now, of course, being in my frame of mind, praying would be easy, but it would be of no good except what it would help in, how it would help in the relationship and getting her off of this craziness that she was involved in.
You promised.
I was a person of my word, and I believe that people should do what they say they would do. Mm-hmm. I was moral. I was a moral person. But I didn't really believe anything insofar as supernatural God, anything like that. All that was out. And we had a large house and had a large hallway going down the middle of the house, and I was walking down through this hallway, and I was going to pray. And as I began to speak, I really didn't speak as I began to try to speak. Mm-hmm. It was like a lump would come up in my throat. My chest would just fill up, and I could not speak. Hmm. I could not say a word. Now, this, I'd never had that problem before. This come totally as... Just,
only when you pray, this would happen.
Well, no, in church, it would not happen when I pray in church.
Huh.
When they'd ask me to dismiss the service and prayer, I would pray, no problem. But this time here, I know it was the power of that those prayers my wife mm-hmm. was praying. You know, it's praise God for praying women, I tell you. And but it, I'd go to say any word. I'd go to in form of prayer, and it would just, I couldn't say anything, and nothing would happen. And this bothered me. Quite naturally, I guess it would, but it really bothered me. And I said, why? I would stop, and as long as I wasn't trying to pray, I could speak. And then I began to get the impression that I was being looked at. I was just being watched. Well, this caused me additional concern, because that's not normally a thing that I had ever felt before. I had never had such sensations as that. But I was being watched, and I couldn't speak, and I was beginning to wonder, what is going wrong? What is wrong with me?
But your wife made a suggestion, surely, of how you should pray.
Yes, she said, if you do not know how to pray, then ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. And this I did. After, I might add, checking to make sure there was really no one watching. I looked under the house, I looked in the attic, everywhere. And then I went into one of the bathrooms, which was in a central part of the house, and no outside windows to the outside. So I said, hey, I'm secure here. No one can. It was getting a little strange, really. And so then I just flippantly, still tried to pray and couldn't. And then I remembered what she said, and I flippantly said, Holy Spirit, pray for me. And thinking in my mind, hey, this is legitimate. She said that this is a legitimate way to pray. Now, I didn't. I was thinking to myself, well, there's nothing, you know, going to happen. And so now that I can keep my word, I'll be prepared.
Right.
And Holy Spirit, pray for me. And I began to plan my day. We were building horse stalls that day, and I began to plan out my day, how I was going to do this, what I was going to do that day, what I was going to have the help doing, and so forth. And it was like I began to get high. I began
high?
To get high. Like
were
I
you
was
drinking?
Getting... No.
You weren't drinking? How did he get high? He wasn't drinking. Wait till you find out what happened. It is, I mean, it's almost... supernatural. We'll be right back after this. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Owens Edge. He is a successful businessman. His wife goes a little too far with this God business. She's raising her hands. She's praying in supernatural languages called tongues. She's getting too fanatic. He says, I want you to stop. She says, I will if you will pray for 30 minutes a day. Now, he's an agnostic, but he says, I can do that. At least I'll have my wife back the way she used to be. He finds he can't pray. So his wife makes a suggestion. I mean, he could pray in church, but he just couldn't pray. Something was stopping him from praying. And so his wife says, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you? He doesn't know what she's talking about, but he says, okay, Holy Spirit, you pray for me. And all of a sudden, I mean, this is early in the morning. He's not a man that drinks. All of a sudden, he starts feeling high. High?
Yeah, it's just feeling drunk. just I began to feel lightheaded. I began to just get the sensations of just being drunk. And I just almost like floating away. And then I became aware of a voice speaking. Became aware mm-hmm. of this voice. And it was in, I could not understand what it was saying. It was, although it was apparently speaking English, I could get a word every now and then, but not enough to put together enough words to make any sense out of anything. And it sounded as though it were a professional voice, and it like it was in another room. And I can remember trying to move in different positions to see if I could hear and get enough of what was being said to understand. But now I was drunk, and so this was okay. I mean, you know, you how people are when they're drunk, they don't care. And so I was drunk, and it never occurred to me, you're listening to voices. It just did not occur to me, I'm listening to a voice. And
you thought your wife was strange. You're getting pretty strange yourself, Owens.
But it didn't occur to me at that moment. It just did not. Uh-huh. But anyway, I began to move in different positions. And as I was doing this, it was like a steam began to come into the room. And it just began to get thicker and thicker. And I didn't even care about that.
I have to ask you a question. Did you take drugs?
No.
No.
Never took drugs in
Never
my life.
Took drugs.
Other
Did you
than
ever
what
have an experience like this before?
Never. This was
okay,
totally
so like it was like smoke?
I didn't believe people could have experiences like this.
Are you saying it's like smoke and steam?
Yes, yeah, it was like a steam with its own light in it was beginning to fill up this bathroom area.
Did you think you were nuts?
It didn't occur to me at that later, but it did not occur to me at that time. This seemed, I was so drunk, it seemed normal.
Did you feel good?
Great. Best I have ever felt. I have never felt anything like that before. Prior to that time, I had just never felt such a thing. And then the muscles in my stomach just began to contract. It did not hurt. It was not painful, but they would just draw. And I remember drawing double, literally with my head between my knees and just groaning. That's the only thing I know how to describe it as. Groaning. I just groaned and just it felt great. I was high. It just felt like I was drunk. I felt good. I felt light. I've just never felt so good. And I was just, there I was groaning. Now, a day earlier, if I had seen myself doing that, I'd said, he's nuts. You know, lock him up. He's, you know, do something with him. He's losing it. And, but there I was, and it just seemed perfectly normal to me. And then it lifted. And the contractions stopped. I straightened back up, and the last vestiges of what I thought of as steam was leaving. And then I got up, and as I left the room, I had no sensation of weight on my feet. It's like as though I were not touching the floor. And I remember bending and leaning and trying to look to see whether or not I was actually in contact with the floor.
Were you?
Yes, apparently I was. I would look, and it seemed like there would be pressure, or at least somewhat pressure, going to the floor, but I couldn't tell it from my feet. Now, maybe I was pretty light. But
So with all these phenomenal things happening to you of a supernatural variety, I assume you then became a fanatic like your wife for the Jesus?
No.
No?
I couldn't believe it. Once the high left, once I came back down and I went out and I was working, of course, this was primarily on my mind. I didn't get much work done. I couldn't drive a nail without stopping to think, what happened to me? I would think one minute, hey, there is a God. There is a God. He does exist. Something happened to me in there. This couldn't possibly have been imagination or a hallucination or any of these other explanations that I'd always conveniently had for other people. And then a little later, I'd say, no. There's no such thing as this type of stuff that's happening to me. There's something happening to my mind. I'm beginning to lose my mind. Some chemical imbalance. Something's went wrong with me.
Well, did you ever try it again, saying, Holy Spirit, pray for me?
Yes. In fact, all during that day, I was saying, I was thinking to myself, I can hardly wait till tomorrow where I can do this again. And I went back into same room, same thing again, and fully expecting it to happen again. I would, and so I was in there and I sat down and I was about to say, Holy Spirit, pray for me. And then I said, oh, I did that yesterday. I can't do that again today. Holy Spirit, pray for. And I remember this guy that had asked for prayer in the church. He said, just stood up and said, you know, unspoken request, but I need prayer. I said, Holy Spirit, pray for him. Almost identical thing happened to me again that day that happened to prior to previous day. And the cloud, everything, the groanings, the whole nine yards happened again. And then when it was over, I remembered something else Shirley told me when she said, if you happen to pray in tongues, you can ask the Holy Spirit for an interpretation.
Did you get one?
I asked, and boom, it all started all over again. The cloud came back in, except this time when the groaning started, it was like instantaneously. And I don't pretend to explain this particularly, but it was like, whoof, and I was inside this man that had asked for prayer. And I knew everything this man felt. I do not know what was causing his oppression.
All right, but did you ever verify, was this true?
Yes. For 2 weeks, it just boiled within me. But finally, I could handle it no longer. I go to this man, and I tell him. I said, I just have to tell you this. I want to tell you what happened to me. And he says, well, sure. And we was out in the rural, this little farm, and he was standing there by his tractor, and our pickup trucks were sitting there. And I began to tell him this entire story, what I've just said here to you. I began to tell him. And he looked, he didn't say anything. He just stood there and he just listened. And then he said, the only thing he said to me was, when did that happen? I told him the time that it happened. I gave him the time. He just looked at me just straight in the face and started walking backwards, reached back and got a hold of the door handle of his pickup truck, opened that door, never took his eyes off of me, got in his truck. Now remember, the people in that church didn't believe really in the supernatural. And he closed the door of his truck and he drove off. And he didn't speak to me, I'd say for 2 months.
What did he tell you after 2 months?
He come up to me and he said, do you remember you prayed for me one time? And I said, yes, I do. He said, I need prayer again. And I said, I'll pray for you right now. He said, no. Just go back and do it the same way you did before. And other than that, that was the extent of the conversation concerning.
But did he tell you that you had hit the right thing when you prayed?
He never said it, no. The only thing he did was come back and ask for prayer that second time. But I had a sense.
And you know what? I have a sense that this man, believe it or not, Owens Edge, he still doesn't believe in Jesus for sure with all these supernatural phenomena going on. Until he says, I want an absolute miracle. We'll be right back with that absolute miracle. Hello, I'm curious as to who our guest is next week. Let's go to Janie in the production room. Janie, who have we got on schedule next week?
Sid, you'll be interviewing an internationally recognized high technology authority who shows a supernatural design in physics, but he's also found supernatural messages in the Bible. And I don't know about you, but when I would read the genealogies, they would name Adam and Enosh and Seth. It would get boring to me, but he's found that those genealogies have a hidden secret sentence.
I'll tell you what, Janie, I love codes, and you're going to love what this man has to say. In the meantime, you are such a hardhead, a skeptic. You went, 6 months of back and forth? Is God real? Is he not real? What's going on? I can't believe you, I might add, that you're so stiff-necked. But then you said, I want an absolute fleece, and it had to do with rain on your property. What did you tell God to do?
It actually involved the last time that the Lord Jesus appeared to me, and he began to tell me things concerning just explaining things to me. And one of the things that he told me was, he said, you go outside and you pray for rain. And, of course, he was well aware that I was in a real dilemma.
Wait a second. You're telling me Jesus came to you and you still don't believe he's real?
You just told me that?
I could still explain it off in my head that I was hallucinating. I didn't have anything concrete other than what was in my head.
Okay, he said to you what?
He said, go outside and pray for rain and I will make it rain. I knew the meteorology or the weather report that morning was no chance of rain in central Alabama. It was just virtually nil. I go outside and I lift my hands. I was already praying. I was doing a lot of things that Christians do. I just could. It was really strange. I look back now and it doesn't even make sense. But I lifted my hands, how I could vacillate back and forth after all that I'd seen and what he had done. I lifted my hands and I said, Lord, make it rain. And I stood and I watched the sky, clear blue sky, not a cloud. And then I was suddenly became aware that the sky had hazed over, and I was a little bit annoyed with myself because I did not see that happen. I did not see that haze over take place. So I said, I will not miss anything else. I began to stare intently at the sky and concentrating, holding my attention to what I was looking for. And a little cloud began to form right above me. And then it got just a little larger and it began a gentle rain. Well, I felt, this is my answer, this is it. I go and I sat down on the porch and I began to swing, and those doubts began to come back. Said, you know, it could possibly have rained.
My goodness, you're a hard person.
I really was.
So what happened next?
Well, I was just so disillusioned and disappointed that I could explain this off. And I got in my pickup truck just feeling really down and drove off. And going down the road where our property ended, the rain had stopped. I stopped. I backed up and I looked and went down the fence, drove down the fence line and began to find that it had rained only on my property. It had not rained on the other side of the fence. After going far enough that this was totally beyond any laws of averages. Somebody was tampering with the rain. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it. Well, I stopped that truck and I got out and I just laid down on the ground and just cried. I knew that beyond any doubt, there's no way that could have accidentally happened.
Well, then you made Jesus your Messiah and Lord?
Then the process was complete.
Right. You went on a long fast, and then miracles started happening, and you saw, you were in the presence of someone dead? Tell me about that.
I had received a phone call and to come and pray for a woman. It was a Mexican family, although this was in the U.S., it was a Mexican family, and the lady's mother had died. And they, being new in this country, did not know what to do. That they were terrified, they were afraid to call the authorities.
So you prayed for this child, and what happened?
This lady,
I'm sorry.
The Lord raised her from the dead. She came back to life.
The Lord raised her from the dead? She came back to life? Did you hear that? A dead person came back to life. But there's some of you that are you're listening to me right now, and you're dead. You may be alive, but you're dead. You see, if you do not have intimacy with God, everything that you see is just temporary. Everything that exists is just temporary. Everything that happens is just temporary. There's only one thing that's eternal. That is your spirit that is inside of you. So the question I have is, has God's life, because you have repented, you've turned from your sins, and you believe that Jesus has washed away your sins, and you've invited Jesus to come inside of you and be Lord of your life, that is when you're going to have life. But it's not just an intellectual thing. Some of you will have an experience like Owen's Edge, but the majority of you will do it by faith. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of God. So let me tell you what God says. God says there's none righteous, no, not one. You may say you're a good person. Compared to who? Compared to another person? Compared to Owen's Edge? Compared to me? Don't compare yourselves to humans. Compare yourself to holiness, and you will be you will fall so far short. And there really is an eternity out there that is at stake. It's your life, not mine. I know God. Question is, it might have been turned off on religion. You might have seen some hypocrisy. Don't get turned off on God because of man. You're too important to God. You're too special to God. There is a purpose for your life. Haven't you always felt there's a purpose? Haven't you always felt that there is a destiny? Do something about it. When we go off the air, you pray and do business with God, and you'll see. You'll see it'll make a major difference. It'll be life from the dead.